May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, again, Happy New Year to all of you. I hope that 2023 is going to be an incredible year for all of us. Those of us who are familiar, as we are, if we come to church on Christmas or around Christmas, with the details of the non-secular version of Christmas, are familiar with the grittiness of it all. I referred to that a little bit during my Christmas Eve service this year, the dusty grotto that smelled of animal dung, the young woman already bathed in the sweat of contractions, hurriedly dismounting her rough taxi so that she can give birth to a child. Cut to Epiphany. Though there's still danger in the story, the grittiness seems to have disappeared. Now we have foreign intellectuals, a visit with the king, glorious robes and bejeweled boxes or a treasure chest. All of it serves to kind of mask the poverty of the young family. And of all of the figures or the setting around the Holy Family, the figures of the wise men are the most familiar, even to non-churchgoers. That's one detail everyone seems to get of the actual gospel account of the season. It's what makes Epiphany feel like the end of Christmas, the end, because it's a transition, kind of, from the humility of Christmas to God's grandeur. From here on, it feels like more and more light is spreading, God's revelation to the Gentiles, the rise of Christianity, and at least in the West, history as we know it. The wise men become, on this sort of telling, a kind of shortcut to our modern ideals. They're fashionably dressed, we imagine. They have money to buy fancy gifts. They are well educated. Yet their knowledge, they are magi after all, has a kind of esoteric New Age edge to it. We tend to like people, at least in the West, who are edgy, who can consort with the powerful, yet don't feel beholden to them. In other words, we like our individualists, who can think for themselves, and who go where they want to go, and who have means. It's kind of the Western ideal. Indeed, since it's January the 1st, it's probably fair to say, though we might never fashion a resolution quite this crassly, none of us here would probably object to becoming more fashionable, a little bit wealthier, and maybe traveling to some exotic locale in 2023. Transitioning from the Feast of Epiphany proper into Epiphany season, we see more of what we think we like. In contrast to the private nature of the birth in humble circumstances, the events celebrated in Epiphany season are spectacular, or at least can appear that way. The baptism of the Lord, next week's feast, features theophany, God making God's self visible and audible. There's water into wine at some point, Cana. There's huge catches of fish. There's ending, of course, with the transfiguration of Jesus, when a human being shines like the sun. Take that, Ram Dass, and your tales of levitating gurus. Now, this way of telling the story appeals to our brain's software, which neuroscientists tell us is evolutionarily adapted to notice the new, the novel, the bright and shiny, that which stands out. But these more spectacular details, my spin on this is a bit of a straw man. I think you probably suspected that. A closer focus helps us to see that the other half of the story has more in common with the humble details of Christmas than we may have thought. We can notice that at the end of their grand tour, these wise men who have taken risks, studied the scriptures, been guided by a kind of psychedelic attachment to the starry heavens, end up at a humble dwelling. We're not sure at what stage Jesus' life they arrive at, but wherever it is, Bethlehem or Nazareth, this dwelling wouldn't make any of our bucket lists, most likely. They arrive not with Herod or a phalanx of officials, but just as themselves. Presumably, they have to knock on the door. Maybe they're met by the lowly maid herself. Possibly Joseph is out the back, chopping wood. And what they would have been offered when they came in would have been something like curdled goat or sheep's milk, possibly in rough wooden cups with chunks of bread on the side. It's not fancy. It's not exotic. It's a scene from any village in any millennium since the Ice Age. Humans getting by, hoping for luck and help, so that the drama that follows after birth can end well, so that the new offspring make it. And it's at this propitious moment, this humble moment, that these wise men arrive, enter, bow down, and pay homage to Jesus as a king. It's a moment that can begin to reveal what Christ made manifest is all about. It doesn't happen without faith. It doesn't happen without risky faith. In this case, faith in the teeth of the circumstances as are presented. The mystic Evelyn Underhill says of this moment, "The utmost man can achieve on his own here capitulates before the unspeakable simplicity of the methods of God." There's not much, actually, of the modern self-made man secure in his educative and monetary powers in this scene. This is a scene of submission to the small, ordinary-looking ways of God that transcend even our greatest adventures and achievements. As we go forward into Epiphany season, into 2023, I think the Spirit wants to teach us, all of us, that God's spectacular takes place in humble, human, ordinary settings. If we are to open our eyes to God's work in us and through us in this coming year, that is a crucial move. Christ is manifest, revealed through the ordinary means of noticing creation and its wonder. Through preaching and teaching in the churches and synagogues and outdoors in the cathedrals of nature. Christ is manifest in your greeting of those weaker than you are. Babies and children, poor families, those engaged in service jobs as they stream into this country as new immigrants. Perhaps you notice it whenever you pick up a coffee or a sandwich. It's invariably new immigrants who have those jobs, those tasks. Those suffering in body, mind, or heart. Christ is manifest when you feel weak and turn again in faith to God. When you follow the star that opens for you this year daring to risk new learning, a new path of spiritual growth, maybe, for yourself or for this parish. Perhaps Epiphany calls for an inversion of our perspectives. It is the ordinary that is special, the ordinary through which the miracle reveals itself. It is as if the wise men's gifts open us to the incense, the smell, the spice of God, if you will, in our work, in holding our grandchild, in having that conversation with our neighbor over the fence, in doing ordinary things, understanding that they're not just about us, they're for the sake of all, so that life is better for those around you. Turns out that nothing is just a condition, profanely speaking. It's only a condition in which we are not or are sufficiently aware of God. So, as a practice, you can, and I commend this to you, occasionally at least, pay homage to the ordinary. We bow to the altar, we turn to face the gospel book. Sometimes when I'm by myself and I'm telling tales out of turn here, I'll bow to a tree. I'll talk to a bug or thank the grass for being so soft and green. It's weird, and I'm not asking you to do it, but think of the Magi, these sophisticates, and how they opened themselves to wonder in the ordinary. That you and I are alive to God's presence in and through our ordinary lives, this is the great epiphany of Christ. This is the great possibility that we are called to live from and towards. Final word to Evelyn Underhill. Quote, "The God of our natural life makes of that natural life the very material of self-revelation." Amen.